to disperse protesters in the northwestern city of Rennes. Train services were disrupted and some schools were closed as garbage piled up on the streets. France has witnessed regular protests and strikes since Macron announced his plan in January. Public anger escalated last week when the government adopted the pension reforms bill without a parliament vote. Macron has doubled down on his plan to increase the retirement age by 2 years, saying it will enter into force by year end. The latest wave of demonstrations represents the most serious challenge to the president's authority since the Yellow Vest protest. French opposition lawmakers have strongly criticized President Macron's policies. Here's what some of them had to say.
He says that he respects the protesters, but he insults them, and he insults all French people in general, all those who, in virtue of the respect of the Constitution, are protesting, including those who are protesting peacefully or those who are respecting the Constitution and are going on a strike. We see that in reality he has in him an anger that he cannot get under control toward those who disagree with him.
He's an absolute pyromaniac. He's setting this country on fire. He pushes people towards entrenchment. He creates anger. He's the one who fuels the fire today, then tomorrow. He'll say that it's dangerous and that he's the order in the face of chaos. But he's the one creating the chaos. That's the problem. He has become an instrument of chaos. And that's the whole problem with Emmanuel Macron.
You know, the only thing that could have calmed all of this was to hold a vote on pension reform in the National Assembly. Now, daring to call it a victory after he bypassed the vote of the people's representatives, that seems a bit provocative or even inappropriate to me.
On this segment of the program, tensions continue to rise on the Korean Peninsula as Pyongyang claims to have tested a new tactical weapon capable of creating a, quote, radioactive tsunami. The North Korean military says it has tested a new nuclear-powered underwater attack drone, which can be deployed at any coast and port. The country's leader, Kim Jong-un, who oversaw the test launch this week, said the exercise was a warning to Washington and Seoul to be aware of the North's nuclear deterrence. Reacting to the latest test, South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol vowed to make Pyongyang pay for its, quote, reckless provocations. Yoon, who has been staging several joint military drills with the U.S. over the past year, says Seoul would develop its own nukes if deemed necessary. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have Jennifer Chang, who's joining us from Seoul. Also, we have independent China specialist Andrew Loing, who's joining us from Hong Kong. Welcome to the program, to the both of you. Let's start off with Jennifer. Please bring us up to speed on the escalated tensions on the Korean Peninsula right now.
Well, North Korea made its bombshell announcement today that from March 21st through March 23rd, it had conducted a successful test of a underwater drone that traveled, cruised along for over 59 hours. It was a drone that never surfaced, and then it exploded a mock nuclear warhead, creating a tsunami, a huge pillar of water, and this can destroy any South Korean port and any U.S. aircraft carrier. Now, there's a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the USS Nimitz, coming here. It will be docked in Busan, which is the southeastern port of South Korea. That is practically the furthest point away from North Korea, but that will be no problem for North Korea to hit and destroy this USS aircraft carrier, which is loaded with stealth fighter jets. So this is a huge, huge threat to the US and South Korea. And this aircraft carrier will take part in joint military drills with the South Koreans and with the Japanese. These will be naval drills. So this is going to put pressure on the U.S., South Korea, and Japan to come up with more than what they've been doing. They've been accelerating and intensifying their joint drills, but it's not doing any good. And at the same time, as North Korea held these drills, it also fired off four nuclear warhead cruise missiles. These flew 1,500 kilometers and 1,800 kilometers in an oval pattern and a figure eight pattern and accurately hit their targets in the East Sea. So this means now that they can nuke South Korea with tactical nuclear weapons in many different areas. Throughout these Freedom Shield drills that have been going on between the U.S. and South Korea, from March 13th to March 23rd, North Korea has been showing that it has a wide variety of nuclear delivery systems to South Korea, Japan, and the U.S. mainland, and the U.S. and South Korea and Japan have to watch out and not do so many military drills like they're doing, because North Korea is not going to back down.
Andrew Leung in Hong Kong, tensions, as we see, are continuing to rise on the Korean Peninsula. Pyongyang claims to have tested a new tactical weapon, which is capable of creating a, quote, radioactive tsunami. Kim Jong-un said that the exercise was a warning to Washington and Seoul to be aware of the North's nuclear deterrence. Give us your perspective on the recent developments on the Korean Peninsula.
Well, as I have said on this channel so many times before, what North Korea doesn't want is to invade other countries all of a sudden. All these delivery systems is a reflex action against decades of hypocritical negotiations, so-called six-party talks, and previous President Donald Trump walking across the border trying to shake hands with Kim. All these are just rhetoric. At the end of the day, the United States wanted the North Korean to surrender everything. It is nuclear defense before they even talk about any concessions. And obviously, this is not going to be tolerated as far as the national security of North Korea is concerned. So now North Korea is developing this kind of dramatic unmortal nuclear weapons. It's not only just to threaten American assets in South Korea, in the port of Busan or elsewhere. It's not just to threaten their naval bases in Guam or and also Okinawa, but also to deny access of aircraft carrier groups to the theater of war around North Korea. Just imagine that if we can just explode an underwater nuclear drone, the nuclear power battle groups could easily be destroyed by a huge tsunami. So this is another anti-access aerial denial kind of weaponry. In the arsenal, just pointed out, with long-range cruise missiles and so on and so forth. So the whole thing centers on North Korea insurance policy against the hegemonic kind of imposition, trying to cause regime change on this false rhetoric of contest between democracy and authoritarianism. What Kim wants to do is really to build a security to safeguard his national security, so as to be able to develop his economy. Because at the end of the day, economy could only bring about a better life for his people and to legitimize and to prolong the legitimacy of his regime. It's always the economy. But without security, it would be very difficult for North Korea to spend resources, because at the end of the day, at the drop of a hat, you can have an American-inspired invasion. It's just like Vietnam. Now, Vietnam is also a very important story, because at the end of the day, don't forget the Vietnam War, years of Vietnam War resulted in American retreat. But now Vietnam has become almost an American ally. Why is that? It's the economy, stupid. It's the economy. So I think that the North Korea, South Korea, and the United States in particular, are missing the trick. I mean, they're getting the wrong end of the stick and just focusing on the military, you know, trying to double down on everything without regard to the power of economic transformation. But that's the a very sad thing, because this is not just the reflection, the Americans' false kind of strategy. It informs the everywhere. I mean, against China, using the military over the, in the South China Sea, and now Russia over Ukraine. Because everything to the Americans, everything is a nail, because all they've got is a hammer. But that's the part of the Americans' military industrial complex, or I should say, military, industrial, and financial complex.
All right, thanks a lot. Jennifer Chang joining us from Seoul, and Independent China Specialist Andrew Loing joining us from Hong Kong. With that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of Newsroom. You stick around, there's plenty more to come. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Nowruz Special. A very old and well-established tradition in Iran for ushering in the new year, or Nowruz, is to lay the spread of half sin, alternatively, to lay the table of half sin in one's home. With only days to go until the start of the new year, Iranians lay a special table or a special spread, known as the half-sin table or the half-sin spread. As the clock ticks away, the new year approaches, all family members gather round the half-sin table and pray for a new year full of happiness, prosperity, good health and blessings. But why gather round a particular table or a particular spread to usher in the new year? What is the role of laying a spread in the Iranian culture? This is the subject of today's program. Please stay with us. One of the great traditions of Nowruz is to set the Nowruz table, or the Nowruz spread. This is also known as setting the half-sin table, or the half-sin spread. According to this ancient tradition, all members of the family gather around the half-sin table, in their family home as the clock chimes in the new year. Traditionally, on a white tablecloth, seven fruits, vegetables or agricultural products are placed, all of them beginning with the letter S in Persian or Farsi. These seven agricultural items represent the great variety of fruits and vegetables which are grown by Iranian farmers. That is, these seven items represent the bounties of agriculture and the blessings of the Lord Most High. On the Hafsin table, we usually find sib or apple, sabzi or green shoots, sir or garlic, serke or vinegar, samanu, a sweet cooked dish made up of wheat germ, somar or sumac, and senjed or Russian olives. Senjed or Russian olive is a type of fruit. Additionally, other items are placed on the Hafsin table, which don't begin with the letter S, such as the Holy Quran, a mirror, candles, a bowl full of water, goldfish in water, bread, flowers, rose water, eggs, which have been painted with various colours and designs, as well as hyacinth and coins. Sombol and Seke, both of which actually begin with the letter S in Persian. But why ancient Iranians chose to put seven items on the Hafsin table is not certain, but various guesses have been made as to why seven items are traditionally put on the Hafsin table. Iranians, of course, lay a tablecloth on a carpet in the middle of their homes, or set a table or spread not just for Nowruz, the new year, but on many other occasions as well, such as betrothals, engagements, weddings, returning from the Hajj pilgrimage, on various religious occasions, and for breaking the fast during the holy month of Ramadan, or setting the table for iftar. In today's program, we're going to discuss the philosophy behind setting a table or spread on various occasions and why it is so important within Iranian culture. Why do Iranians gather around a table or spread on so many different occasions? And what is the cultural significance of this? Stay with us. Traditionally, in Iran, on important occasions, a table or spread is set and friends and family members gather round. This is a very important part of Iranian culture, and various examples include the table spread on the night of Yalda, the longest night of the year, a table or spread for Nowruz, the new year, as well as for betrothals, engagements, weddings, returning from the Hajj pilgrimage, and a table or spread on various religious occasions, etc. According to the book, Ancient Traditions of Laying the Tablecloth, written by Iranian writer and researcher Jiladeh Bozorgi, in the past, Iranians used to set a tablecloth or spread on occasions such as the Mehregan festivity, the Sadeh festivity, the last Wednesday of the year known as Charshanbe Suri, and on various other occasions. Thus, setting the table or spread is not just for eating a family meal on lunchtime or dinner time, but rather, in Iran, it has a deep cultural significance and represents the belief of people from different regions of Iran. It is very much a part of Iranian culture. Prominent researcher and social scientist and anthropologist Sayyid Mohammad Beheshti believes that the ancient tradition of setting the table or spread has given warmth and luster to Iranian families for many centuries. Some examples of laying a table or spread include family parties, get-togethers and festivities, for iftar or breaking the fast in the evening during the holy month of Ramadan, various charitable events such as helping orphans, helping the poor and the less well-off, and laying a table or spread on various special occasions such as Nowruz, the New Year, betrothals, engagements, weddings, returning from the Hajj pilgrimage, known as Sufriya Valime, for the longest night of the year, the night of Yalda, and for various religious occasions including, in the morning months of Muharram and Safar, laying a table or spread for lamentation and eulogy for the chief of martyrs Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and his loyal companions, peace be upon them. According to social scientist and anthropologist Sayyid Muhammad Beheshti, each one of these tables or spreads is different from the others in the way the spread or table is set, who is invited to the table, and the hospitality offered to the invitees, and the traditions and customs associated with a particular table or spread. These tables or spreads could signify a number of things, such as birth of a newborn baby, a marriage or nuptial, an engagement or a betrothal, devotion and kindness to relatives, a festivity or celebration or get-together, or a religious ceremony of lamentation, eulogy, mourning and commemoration. Generally, all members of an Iranian family help with laying a table on various occasions. Usually, the most respected member of the family or the eldest member of the family sits at the top of the table or spread. The high status of a person sitting at the top of the table or spread is clear to all. Because Iranians are very hospitable and they value and honor their guests very much, often a guest is invited to sit at the top of the table. This signifies the high status of the guest. The famous French jeweller and traveller Jean-Baptiste Chardin, also known as Sir John Chardin, whose 10-volume book The Travels of Sir John Chardin is regarded as one of the finest works of early Western scholarship on Persia and the Near East, has written at length about generous Iranian hospitality in his famous 10-volume book. There are also customs associated with eating at the table. Usually, when the owner of the house finishes eating, all the food at the table or spread will be cleared. Thus, owner of the house usually eats slowly, giving plenty of time to the honoured guests to finish their meals. And when the owner stops eating, all the guests have finished eating. The Iranian New Year, Nowruz, coincides with the arrival of spring and the changing of the seasons. One of the great traditions of Nowruz is to set the Nowruz table, or the Nowruz spread. This is known as the half-sin table or the half-sin spread. Well, dear listeners, take care and God bless you all.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
And I would like to take this opportunity to present to you once again a very eloquent and powerful sermon given by our Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh. which was basically a sermon of welcoming the month of Ramadan. He begins by talking about the importance of this month, where he says, أيها الناس إنه قد أقبل إليكم شهر الله بالبركة والرحمة والمغفرة. That all people, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has approached you, or is approaching you now, with the blessings and mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The importance of this month, the way he describes, شَهْرٌ هُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ الشُّهُورِ, it is a month better than all the months, وَأَيَّامُهُ أَفْضَلُ الْأَيَّامِ, and the days of this month are better than the days in general, وَاللَّيَالِيهِ أَفْضَلُ الْلَيَالِي, وَسَاعَاتُهُ أَفْضَلُ السَّاعَاتِ, even the nights of this month are better than the nights of other months, and even the hours and the minutes and even the seconds of this month are better than other months. But then he comes to a very important point where he says, وَهُوَ شَهْرٌ دُعِيتُمْ فِيهِ إِلَىٰ ضِيَافَةِ اللَّهِ وَجُعِلْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ كَرَامَةِ اللَّهِ. It's easy to translate that, but really we need time to absorb this whole concept. But he says, this is the month where you have been invited to be the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have been made the people who have the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. He is the host. And it is customary among human beings that when the guest comes, the host will do the best that he or she can do as far as the hospitality is concerned. And so what do we get during this month? Remember, the month of Ramadan is for refraining from food and drink. So in the hospitality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no food and drink for us. The reason I'm discounting that, because you know, Maryam salawatullah alayhi used to get the food from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Isa alayhi salam, once he prayed that, oh Allah, you know, send us a ma'ida, you know, sufra, where for me and my disciples, this will be the day of Eid for us. But this is month of Ramadan. We are his guest because he has asked us not to eat and drink. So what is there in that banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that table, that we are the guest and Allah is the host? There are five things. Number one, أَنْفَاسُكُمْ فِيهِ تَصْبِيحٌ. When you are in the state of fasting, your breath, Allah says, I consider that as tasbih, as the praise that you do, like Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa La Ilaha Illallah. Just think about it. When we talk about breathing, we don't even do it consciously. Whether we like or not, we know or not, we are alive because of that. It is a very natural act. Even when we are sleeping, we are breathing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this month, even this process which is natural, which you don't really do with any effort or intention or planning, you know, it is there. I will consider that to be tasbih. The second item on that banquet, on that table, وَنَوْمُكُمْ فِيهِ عِبَادَةً. Your sleep in that state of fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is, I will consider that to be an act of worship, an ibadah. In fiqh, sleeping is actually a problem. If you are half asleep, you got up and did wudu and still go on the musalla, did Allahu Akbar and went to sleep, your salat is batil. Your wuzu is also gone. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the state of fasting, if you go to sleep, even that process of you sleeping in the state of fasting, I will consider that to be an ibadat. Third item on that sufra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, وَعَمَلُكُمْ فِيهِ مَقْبُولٌ. Your good deeds on that day, in that month, is going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember, doing good deeds is one thing. Whether Allah accepts it or not is something else. Islam doesn't believe in the sense that the worth of something is not defined by the act itself. It is defined by the intention of the doer. You can give $1 million for a project, religious, you know, charitable project, if your niyyat is something else, fame or other things, it's not acceptable. Yes, in our eyes we will say, subhanallah, you know, he donated $1 million. As opposed to somebody who just gave $50, couldn't afford more than that. But he did qurbatan lillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that. But here it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will accept. Do whatever good you can during this month. I'll make it easy. Number four, وَدُعَاءُكُمْ فِيهِ مُسْتَجَابٌ. The fourth item on this, in this ziyafat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us, where he says, your prayers will be answered. In Quran he talks about it. He says, call me. Call me and I'll respond to you. But during this month of Ramadan, the chances of acceptance of the dua are even increased. And therefore then the Prophet says, فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ رَبُّكُمْ بِنِيَّاتٍ صَادِقَةٍ وَقُلُوبٍ طَاهِرَةٍ أَنْ يُوَفَّقَكُمْ بِصِيَامِهِ وَتَلَاوَةِ كِتَابِهِ. And therefore pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with pure intentions and pure heart, so that he may give you the opportunity to fulfill the duties as far as fasting is concerned, and also to recite the Quran in this month. فَإِنَّ الشَّقِي مَنْ حُرِمَ مِنْ غُفْرَانِ اللَّهِ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرِ الْعَظِيمِ. Because shaqi, the most unfortunate person, is somebody who is deprived from the forgiveness of Allah during this holy month.
With mercy just like rain, to make it easier to change ourselves, protect me from this world and from myself. Oh, please keep me company, old friend. You bless me in my home once again. I'm fortunate I get another chance to witness these nights, so I raise my hand. Ya Allah, thank you for another chance standing at my door. Ya Allah, you've given me hope, delivered this gift right to my home. Marhab, marhab, ya Ramadan, ahlan, ahlan, bis-siyam.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
U.S. detention centers are usually notorious for their lack of sanitation, medical neglect, and use of solitary confinement. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Truthout wrote in this regard, earlier this month, over 85 people incarcerated at Northwest Detention Center and WDC in Tacoma, Washington, went on a five-day hunger strike to protest worsening living conditions. According to advocates, the strike started on February 1st when guards accused detainees of having some materials during an inspection. When detainees across units joined in protest, Immigration and Customs Enforcement (ICE) officers retaliated by tear gassing inmates in Unit F4 and using smoke bombs and pepper spray on others. The strikers demanded an end to this inhumane treatment, as well as access to better medical care and COVID-19 preventative measures, timely and warm food service, clean bedding and attire, lower telecommunications and commissary prices, among other basic necessities. Detainees ended the strike on February 6th after ICE officials promised to meet their demands. Though many say their food is still arriving late and other conditions have yet to be met. La Resistencia, a grassroots organization in Washington State led by undocumented people in solidarity with detainees at NWDC, is fighting to close the facility and end all detentions and deportations. Jose Hernandez, who was on hunger strike, told organizers with La Resistencia that he was fighting for medical attention and the rights of everyone detained at the facility. Hernandez told organizers, "I won't stop until I see results. This isn't just about me, it is about everyone." According to a statement from an ICE spokesperson, upon discovery of an inmate possessing a comb with razor blades used to color, the non-citizens involved refused to follow orders and became non-compliant. After careful consideration, ERO, Enforcement and Removal Operations, authorized non-lethal use of force, following applicable guidelines to ensure the safety of all people in facility, including non-citizens and staff. Once the incident was resolved, all detainees were evaluated by on-site medical staff and cleared with no injuries. Medical staff confirmed there were no detainees with suicidal identification. Detainees, however, tell another story. One protester told La Resistencia that the officers treated them poorly and would pepper spray inmates indiscriminately, including those who were sick. The protester to La Resistencia organizer said, "They don't care about us, and it isn't right. What they're saying in the news are lies. Nobody was resisting them. We are just trying to be peaceful." Another detainee told La Resistencia that even though their unit was not directly tear gassed, they could still smell the fumes. "Our unit is directly above F4 and is connected to the same ventilation system," they said, adding, "As a result, we were breathing in these gases for about 3 hours. The GEO guard would not call for help, and we were suffocating, begging for help, while the guard just told us to deal with it. I actually called the Federal Public Defender's Office and begged the receptionist to call the fire department for about 5 minutes. One of the detainees started kicking and clawing at the door, hysterically trying to get out to get fresh air. Owned by the private prison corporation GEO Group, NWDC is notorious for its mistreatment of inmates, lack of sanitation, medical neglect, and overuse of solitary confinement. According to a report by the University of Washington Center for Human Rights, the NWDC has weaponized solitary confinement against prison organizers and those facing mental health issues. According to IC data, the facility also detains people longer, on average, in solitary confinement than any other dedicated ICE facility in the nation. Chad Faulkner, an Australian national and suicide risk detainee, was forcibly held in solitary confinement at NWDC on January 29th. During a phone interview, Faulkner told Prism that he asked his officer to let him take a shower and was dragged to solitary confinement instead, injuring his limbs in the process. Faulkner said, "I told them, I'm not supposed to be down there. I'm on a mental health observation." According to Faulkner, the officer forcibly held him down despite Faulkner's pleas to call their supervisor. Faulkner said he was scratched, bruised, and had cuts all over his hands. Faulkner said, "I started crying. I was crying, screaming, telling them to stop, and they didn't stop." This was not the first time detainees like Faulkner experienced abuse at the hands of NWDC authorities. On December 5, 2022, Faulkner went on hunger strike to protest malnourishment, harassment, and having his belongings rummaged through without consent. Before him, on May 13, 2022, 13 detainees also went on hunger strike to protest inhuman conditions at the facility. Similar to the recent hunger strike this month, the strikers were threatened with pepper spray before being placed in solitary confinement. This is nothing but a business for both GEO and ICE. They both benefit from having people in detention, and they will do anything necessary to not only keep their business running, but also to keep this a secret prison, said La Resistencia co-founder Mauro Mora Villa Pando, adding, "They abuse people and they don't want anybody to know." Faulkner has been awaiting deportation at NWDC since October 20th, 2022, when his case was finalized. Faulkner said, "I would love to be free. I would love to be free to go right back to my mom. She needs me." According to Hill, advocates say conditions at U.S. immigration detention centers are getting worse, even after years of investigations, calls to action, and pledges to improve the civilian incarceration system. Early in his tenure, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas ordered two detention centers shuttered, and he has since closed a handful more. Mayorkas said in a memo to Immigration and Customs Enforcement IC Acting Director Taya Johnson in March of 2021, "Allow me to state one foundational principle. We will not tolerate the mistreatment of individuals in civil immigration detention or substandard conditions of detention." Even as Biden administration officials have vowed to reduce immigration detention, multiple organizations, including the American Civil Liberties Union and the American Immigration Lawyers Association, have consistently highlighted the flaws in the U.S. system. Still, ICE and private detention center operators such as Core Civic and GEO Group have been dogged by consistent reports of abuse, neglect, and mismanagement across U.S.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Ayatollah Khamenei's opinion on the blessed month of Ramadan. 2014. During Ramadan, we should establish a spiritual relationship with ourselves and others. July 2, 2014. The environment of Ramadan is the environment of warmth, spirituality, honesty, and purity. We should try to make the most of this environment, both for the sake of our spiritual relationship with God. We should strengthen this spiritual and personal relationship with Allah, the Exalted, because the best and the greatest advantage of anyone, for anyone, is strengthening this relationship. And for the sake of our eternal life, in the hereafter, because the real life exists in the hereafter. Making the most of this environment is beneficial for both the hereafter and our life in this world. Besides, we should try to benefit from this spiritual and pure environment which exists in the month of Ramadan on a public level, for establishing a proper and spiritual relationship between ourselves and other people, for making correct decisions, and for adopting proper measures. In our relationships with other people, we should be optimistic. We should have trust in others. We should be kind and well-wishing.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
August 9th, 2013. It is good to pay attention to this issue, which is the act of providing the people with simple and unadorned iftar meals in our mosques and on the streets of many cities of the country. Unlike the act of offering extravagant iftar meals, which we heard a number of people did, this is a very appropriate act. Under the pretext of offering iftar meals, these people engaged in extravagant acts. Instead of becoming an instrument for establishing a psychological relationship with the poor and the deprived in the month of Ramadan, they indulge themselves in carnal desires by doing this. We do not want to say that if somebody eats a delicious food during iftar, this is forbidden. No, according to Sharia, these things are not forbidden. But extravagance and overindulgence are forbidden. The extravagance which is sometimes witnessed in such occasions is forbidden. It is so much better for those who want to offer iftar meals to do this by cherishing the tradition which has become common. The month of Ramadan enlightens and cleanses hearts and souls. September 20, 2009. Muslims finish the month of Ramadan with enlightenment. The month of Ramadan enlightens and cleanses hearts and souls by fasting, engaging in dhikr, dua, and divine prayers, by reciting the Holy Quran and engaging in many other virtues which religious people benefit from. In fact, from the night of Qadr onwards, the religious people who engage in fasting begin a new year. During the night of Qadr, their fate for the whole year is recorded by the divine angels who record our actions. During the night of Qadr, one enters a new year, a new stage, and in fact, a new life and birth. From this night onwards, one begins to take a path with his provisions of piety.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
On Saturdays. the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O, the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam on the month of Ramadan 1444. You are the guest of Allah. Ramadan Mubarak.
Love is everywhere. So much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthen my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb.
Dear brothers and sisters, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and today is the second day of the month of Ramadan 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Farvardin 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of March 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing these moments, we listen to chapter At-Talaq, verse 3 from the Holy Quran, and then We'll learn about its point.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.